We are in the fight for America's future, and we are assembling a team to fight back. Turning Point Action, this July 15th and 16th is where the assemblage will take place. Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson, Dan Bongino, Steve Bannon, myself, Charlie Kirk, Senator Hawley, Senator Vance, Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Vivek Ramaswamy, Scott Pressler, Mike Lindell, Harmeet Dhillon, you need to be there. Go and sign up immediately. TPAction.com is the site. TPAction.com. Use promo code POSO and you will get a discount. Secure your tickets immediately. Don't be coming to me saying, can you get me in after this thing sells out, because it will sell out fast. And I will see you down in Florida this July 15th and 16th for the greatest assemblage of patriots this country has seen since Valley Forge.
We are in a fifth generational conflict. For every lie they tell, we're gonna get in their face and yell two truths.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Christ is breaking king. News from the Supreme Court. The justices ruled in favor of the Colorado web designer who says her religious beliefs prevent her from taking on same-sex couples as clients.
Sounds like the student loan debt forgiveness plan is gone. It is not going to move forward in a 6-3 ruling.
Clarence Thomas has been on a mission to dismantle every institutional attempt to help and aid not just black people, but any people.
We have seen three consecutive nights of rioting, looting, arson attacks on banks and shops and schools. Emmanuel Macron also called on all parents to take responsibility. A third of the 870 people who were arrested last night were young people, some of them very young. He has also called on social media websites to play their part, taking down any content that exacerbates the rioting.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard a monumentous episode of Human Events with Jack Posobiec. Today is June 30th, 2023, Anno Domini. You know, we started Pride Month with a very special update from Libby Emmons, and we are bringing Libby Emmons on again today for the end of Pride Month. Not only is she there at the Moms for Liberty, but we are celebrating these incredible victories for freedom, these victories for the United States of America, the MAGA victories at the Supreme Court. But Libby Emmons right now is on the mean streets of Philadelphia at the Moms for Liberty event. She's going toe-to-toe with the protesters. Libby, what is the scene there in Philly?
Yeah, we've got a lot of protesters out. There were more earlier, but I hear there are more coming. Apparently, Starbucks employees who have been striking because they're not allowed to put gay decorations in Starbucks stores are going to be joining out here. We've got a lot of protesters out. As you can see, there's been yelling and screaming, and everybody's a fascist. They hate Moms for Liberty, and they are not afraid to show it. Yeah, there's a lot of trans people out, and there's a lot of parents out, and there's really a lot of misinformed people out as well. I talked to some of the protesters, and they were they had no idea what they were talking about. They were saying that books were being banned. They couldn't actually say what books were being banned. They just are so sure that they are right and don't want to hear what other people are having to say. You can hear them now. These
that'd
are very
be a great,
people.
That'd be a great viral video, you know, one of those, one of those quick videos. If you go, so what books are being banned? Can you name any of the books that are being banned? Or what's like that one kid has the video, name one book that was banned. Just name one book that was banned and see if you
exactly
can get any. I think that would be great content.
Yeah, I actually talked to some grandmoms and I asked them that question, and I'm pretty embarrassed that they could not tell me a single book that was being banned.
Yep.
These people really want
exactly
to be on camera, though. You fear what you don't understand, which I think they could definitely turn around. I know why your kids don't talk to you, bigot. Well, jokes on them. My kid doesn't stop talking to me. So that's
amazing. Those are the signs.
Yeah, these are the signs out right now. There's some LGBTQ dogs who are probably going to be gender transitioned soon. So yeah, we can see what's going on. It's been there's been a lot of anger out in the streets in Philadelphia. A lot of signs about how Philly is a trans city. This morning, I encountered some protesters who were telling me all about how I didn't have their consent to film them, regardless of the fact that they were right there on a public street.
No, if you're on a public street, it's not.
Yeah, this is what we have going on. There's a lot of dancing because dancing really tells moms that they are wrong for wanting parental rights and education. They are owning us by twerking yet again, Jack. Owning us by twerking.
The twerking continues. Of course, the twerking constantly continues. Libby, stay safe while you're out there. I want to hold you on after the break. Maybe you can find an area that's a little quieter because I'd like to get an update from you, not only just about the protests, but also about what's going on inside the Moms for Liberty. So we're coming up on a quick break here. Can you stick with us? Are you able to hold on?
Sure thing. I'll go find a quieter spot.
Okay, we'll do that. So we'll do what we're going to do, and producers, I want you to have this. So we're going to hold Libby over, and we're doing it live. We're going to bring her over. I want to get to an area where, of course, she's safe, and then, of course, the audio is better so that we're able to listen to her directly because, folks, this is what Human Events does. We go right down there, right into the thick of things, right into the action. You see Libby Emmons. She's standing up to these protesters. They are attacking the moms. They're calling them fascists for standing up for the rights of parents, the rights of their children, and that's why the left is losing their minds in Philadelphia and across the country today. Human Events continues.
I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, we're back here, Human Events. I want to remind you guys that Human Events with Jack Posobiec is powered by Blackout Coffee, and you can be too. Go to blackoutcoffee.com, utilize promo code POSO20. Why is it POSO20? That's because you get 20% off your first order. And if you go right now, between now and July 4th, the 4th of July sale is currently going on, Independence Day sale. Remember, you got to say Independence Day. I like 4th of July. We all love it, but I like saying Independence Day because that's what it is. So you go to blackoutcoffee.com right now, utilize promo code POSO20 to get up to 20% off of your first order. And I've been trying. So we're doing the dark roast right now. This morning, I had the 1776 dark roast fresh roast coffee. It was delicious. This thing was fantastic. I had a giant 24-ouncer of it. So I'm flying today, baby. I'm flying. Look, wait, last night we had thought crime. Now we're here. I need my blackout coffee to push me going in the morning. You can too. Blackoutcoffee.com, promo code POSO20. Go back now to Libby Emmons, who's there on the mean streets of Philadelphia. She's covering the Moms for Liberty. The left is out there in full force. She's telling us that more leftist protesters are en route. They're actually rerouting because they're protesting outside of Starbucks where they're on strike. They're coming down. And Libby, how are these protesters? You mentioned this before earlier. The audio wasn't great because we were outside. So you've moved inside where it's a little bit clearer audio. What were they yelling about? And or I should say, were they yelling about these monumentous Supreme Court decisions that came down today from the justices that were appointed by Donald Trump?
Yeah, you know, they sure were yelling about that. Some of the MCs were getting out there and complaining about the decisions against student loan debt relief and things like that. And they were saying how important it is to vote for Democrats in 2024 in order to try and get these decisions overturned. Yeah, they were definitely upset about that. They were upset about the woman who is not going to be forced to host websites for gay marriage as part of her business. And they were definitely displeased about these things. This one woman that you're seeing right there in the video on the other side of her sign, it says defend democracy, but with an S instead. So I think when Moms for Liberty was upset about the school closures, they might have had something like democracy with an S in mind as something they did not want their kids to be suffering from. But as you said, yeah, I'm inside the convention center now. There's been a lot of parents. There's been a lot of excitement here. There's been breakout sessions for people to strategize and take their, take the ideas back home. figure out how to deal with school boards, get elected on school boards. And Moms for Liberty has seen certainly some victories over the past couple years. And I think if it weren't for those victories, these people wouldn't be out there being so incredibly angry about everything.
Well, I think that's right. And Libby, what is your sense as well of the Moms for Liberty event there? Because, I mean, obviously holding it in Philadelphia, and you and I both say this as, you know, Philadelphia area refugees, even though you're back today. We love Philadelphia. I've always loved Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a place in my heart for Philly, going to the Franklin Institute, going to Independence Mall. But Philly has become infested with these types over the years. And I think it really says something that they know. They know that not only as Pride Month is over, this entire movement, this left-wing hijack of the good intentions of so many Americans has been completely hijacked. The pendulum is now swinging back. And isn't that what Moms for Liberty represents?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Moms for Liberty and the parents that are here are interested in having morality and values in society and for their kids. And it's certainly telling that one protester who I saw out there today was ripping pages out of a Bible, talking about how that was trash. There were signs out there from people saying, get your Bible off our necks. They really don't think that we have a right to our religion. They don't think we have a right to morality. And they certainly don't think that we have a right to instill those values in our children. And that's what they're mad about. But yeah, I think you're right. We have seen so much change in just even the past few months with the willingness of Americans to tolerate this kind of divisive and horrifying rhetoric. These lies are just not being believed anymore. And it was clear this morning too, when I was talking to grandparents out there, a lot of whom were wearing masks, and I said, you know, were you in favor of the school closures? Yes, people were dying. We had to close schools, you know, because old people were dying. There's this surreal inability to see that you know, Americans are not wanting to put up with this kind of thing any longer. And that's a win for Moms for Liberty. That's a win for everybody who went out and spoke at school board meetings. That's a win for everybody who the Department of Justice has declared a domestic extremist simply because they are interested in making sure their kids get a proper education in this country.
Well, I think it's incredible. I love the activism that we're seeing here, because and look, we know Governor DeSantis spoke this morning. President Trump will mm-hmm. be speaking, I think, within a couple hours, right? Is that correct? He's speaking.
Yeah,
around,
he's supposed to be at 4. Yeah, four. Secret Service has already come in and done their sweep. We saw the bomb sniffing dogs downstairs, and Moms for yep. Liberty is taking this very seriously. After they were designated as domestic extremists by the Southern Poverty Law Center, they really beefed up their security. And that's been evident across this entire conference.
How much emphasis is Moms for Liberty placing on activism? We hear these stories about moms running for school boards in some of these states and some of these districts. Is that something that they're putting a new initiative towards as we gear up for 2023 and 2024?
Yeah, you know, it really is. The message is to go out there into your communities. The message is to express your views to those who are in charge. And if you can't get them to listen, to take charge yourself. We've seen that for real. And this morning, too, there was a moment in the main speakers area where one of the speakers came out and said, you know, if you have attended school board meetings, stand up. If you have gone to state legislatures and expressed your views there, stand up. And at a certain point, every person in the room was standing because they had all gone to their communities for, you know, to give advocacy and to express what they needed for their kids. And I think that I was covering Moms for Liberty right when they first started. I was actually clued into them secretly by one of the teachers at my son's school in Brooklyn, who was passing out flyers for Maya Flores, who was the far left mayoral candidate before Eric Adams won. And they said to me, the teacher said that they are forced to give out those flyers by the union, and that she had seen the work I was doing. She had seen me on, I think, Tucker Carlson. She said, you know, a bunch of us are really in favor of what you're doing, and you need to check out Moms for Liberty. She's the one who introduced me to one of the people in New York who was involved with it. And that's how I started to understand what they were doing, and I had done profiles of them. And the organization has really grown. They're a lot more sophisticated, and they really care about their kids. They care about America's kids. They don't believe our children belong to the government. They are 100% in favor of accurate, factual, good education. They're not looking for fascism. They're not even looking to ban books. You know, they just want kids to finish school, so, able to read and write, you know, not too much to ask.
I know, right? And that's what it is. When we talk about the pendulum swing, we don't mean that it's a swing from, you know, where it's currently at in the left all the way over to supporting any extreme positions on the right. What we're talking about is a swing basically back to the center right, because America is inherently a center right nation. That's where we've been. But Libby, mm-hmm. I do want to ask you, possibly controversial, this came up last night on Thought Crime, but the fact that RFK Jr., essentially pulled out of the Moms for Liberty. So DeSantis, Trump speaking, I believe Vivek also speaking, but RFK Jr. was going to speak, and now the left started pummeling him for it. He decided not to come, and then when he was asked about it at News Nation, he said that he wasn't aware that his campaign had assigned that. What is your take on that? And we have 2 minutes.
You know, I think that's pretty cowardly. The parents of America deserve to hear from the presidential candidates who want to lead us and who want to lead our children into the future. And if RFK can't speak to these moms, many of whom probably agree with him on, you know, things like vaccine mandates, I think that that's really a shame. He should not listen to the rhetoric spewed by the same leftist lunatics who are refusing to acknowledge the reality of his campaign or think that he's legitimate at all. So, you know, if he's going to live by those same dictates, his campaign is going to die by them. And he should know that by now, frankly. It's really absurd that he doesn't. He needs the left more than he needs the parents of America. But I would certainly caution against something like that.
No, I think I agree with you. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are listening to him. I know a lot of moms are listening to him. I went up to Tanya this morning and I said, what are you listening to there? She had the headphone in and she goes, it's RFK on Joe Rogan. So obviously there's a lot of discussion about his vaccine stance. And I think there's a lot of moms who care about that when they have little kids. She said, all my mom friends are talking about it in the mom group. And, but you know, I pointed that out as well. And she said, well, I don't like that. You know, I like him on this, but I don't know if I like that. Libby, we've got to run. We're coming up on a hard break. Tell us, where can people go to follow your coverage? Incredible coverage, crushing it there on the mean streets of Philadelphia at the Moms for Liberty.
You can check me out at Libby Emmons on Twitter. And you can, of course, check out the Post Millennial and Human Events for all of our incredible coverage.
All right. God bless Libby. And just so everybody knows, for the benefit of everyone out there, one of the very first things that I made sure was going on today was that Libby Emmons would not be there alone. And so you do not necessarily see the people that are watching her back. I made sure, very sure, that there were people who would be there with her today when she's going out there with those protesters, because we've seen how it gets in Philly. We see how it gets when it's hot. And we know that the left is losing their minds because of these massive victories at the Supreme Court. Joining us next, after the break here, stay tuned. Scott Pressler joins us for another Field Up. I told you, I promised you that we would have Scott Pressler back for more Field Updates. He joins us today. I want to talk about the Supreme Court. I want to talk about these victories. I want to talk about organizing and the fact that he's got an action plan, a day of action, coming up next week as well for the state of Pennsylvania and a couple other states. Stay tuned. Human Events, Scott Pressler joins us next. All right, we're back. Jack Posobiec, huge day here, monumentous victories at the Supreme Court. We haven't gone through them all yet because I'm sure you've seen it out there, but I wanted to read. I threw up a tweet this morning just to kind of walk it down for everybody. And I wanted to say this as well on air because it needs to be said. And as usual, I think I'm the only one who's going to say it. Under this Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, gone. Affirmative action, gone. Student loan forgiveness, gone. Constitutional carry, secured. Business religious freedoms, secured. So say those four little words. Thank you, Donald Trump. You can question his methods, but you can't question the results. Now, somebody else who gets results by putting points on the board and is always results focused is my good friend Scott Pressler, who joins us now. Scott, thank you so much for joining us and taking the time today.
Thank you, Jack.
Well, so Scott, where are you at right now? Because last time I think you were in Louisiana, you're in Lafayette, you're going all over the country. Where are you in your travels? What is the Scott Pressler Field update? Where are you and where are you going?
Was in Louisiana, came here to North Carolina. I'm actually on vacation, but I'm one of those guys that even when I'm on vacation, I tend to plan events. So we did an event in Wilmington, North Carolina in New Hanover County. And this is a college town, but just so have it, there are actually more registered Republicans than Democrats in this county. We just have a plurality of independents. And so North Carolina is one of my top five targets. I'm here to make sure that we are registering voters. We're preparing to win not only this November, but of course in 2024. And so tomorrow I'm driving 9 hours to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I'll be spending the next couple days doing Independence Day celebrations and a lot of voter registry.
Well, that's huge. I mean, Scott, now that area, particularly in Western Pennsylvania, so was that where you will be on the 4th of July?
Correct. So the plan is tomorrow, Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. This is going to be downtown. There's going to be vendors, people out selling things, et cetera. So everybody is welcome. And the mayor, J.D. Longo, is unveiling this massive American flag that the citizens came together, that they donated, they contributed to. And it's going to be one of the largest flags in Southwest Pennsylvania that's being unveiled. On the 3rd, I'm going to Crawford County, and on the 4th, I'll be at the West End Overlook Park. But really quickly, Beaver County, Pennsylvania is 863 voter registrations away from flipping from Democrat to Republican. Why is this important? Because Beaver County is not only adjacent to East Palestine, the site of the Biden Buttigieg train derailment disaster, but this is a county that not only voted for Donald Trump, but also voted for Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro. So if we are able to flip this county, register more Republican voters, this is going to be securing the last Southwest Pennsylvania county going from blue to red outside of Allegheny and Pittsburgh. So this would be monumental for the area.
Now, Scott, walk us through, and you know, I can do this as well, because this is the one state I know better than any, as I'm from Pennsylvania, but walk us through why Western Pennsylvania is such a target for conversion, why particularly that area of the state, which is traditionally a Democrat area, and you saw that in 22 with a lot of the results there, why is it so important to convert this spot?
Well, I know that you love Philly, but I really love Pittsburgh. And I think that at its core, this is really working class. This is blue dog. These aren't your radical leftists, at least as the base of the party. The radical extreme left has actually taken over Allegheny County and the Democratic Party. But I think the base overall, they're your working class citizens that are just trying to feed their families, create a great lifestyle for their kids. And I think that they're getting turned off by this extremist leftist wing of the Democratic Party. So this is our opportunity to come in and welcome them into the Republican Party. And as we all know, it's Allegheny and Philadelphia that control the entire Commonwealth. So if we are able to narrow and dwindle the Democratic control here in the Southwest Pennsylvania area, this could have statewide ramifications going into 2024.
Right. So Western Pennsylvania, this is your working class Democrat area. This is your area that flipped for Reagan in the 1980s. They went along with George H.W. Bush in the 1988 election. If JFK were back today, and obviously as RFK Jr. is trying to target these types of people, this is the same working class coalition that the Kennedys, before it was known as the Reagan Democrats, it was known as the Kennedy Coalition. This is the one group that Donald Trump has been shown as the only Republican in recent years was able to cross over. And I think as the Republican Party has become more populist, more working class, has shown that we are more focused, and the party, I should say, the movement is more focused on those economic kitchen table issues, that is something that actually drives those type of people over. So Scott, when you're talking to that type of voter, what type of issues do you typically hear?
Well, for me, I'm not necessarily always in persuasion mode. I think part of the problem that we have as Republicans is the Democrats are better about getting their people out to vote. Our people, unfortunately, stayed home like they did in Nevada in 2022, like in Oregon in 2020. And so really, my goal is to elicit information from them. I want to find out, do they like Donald Trump? Do they like Governor DeSantis? Do they like Nikki Haley? And if they do, I educate them and remind them that we have closed primaries in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So you're not able to support Trump. You're not able to vote in a Republican primary unless you are registered to vote as a Republican. And it's giving that education in states like Arizona, like Louisiana, that the presidential preference primary, you must be a registered Republican if you want to support your candidate.
That's exactly right. And that's so for me, coming from Pennsylvania and coming up in politics in PA, that's always just been something that I assume everybody knows. And that is a huge problem. It's even something that I can do a better job on, is explaining to people that, hey, that's great. You know, I love when you listen to the podcast. I love when you share, subscribe, like, hit the bell, all that stuff that we say every day, YouTube, Rumble, whatever it is. But at the same time, if you're just listening and you're not taking that next step to action, and Scott, that's why I wanted to have you on, because then you're, you know, it's just entertainment. Then you're just having fun. And unfortunately, the left just continues on winning. And so if you like these victories that we have at the Supreme Court, we must understand that's because we've been plugging away day after day. We got people like Scott, the persistence, that are going so hard. So Scott, tell people, where can they go to sign up to join your fight, to join this movement and take direct action themselves? And do you have any other events that you want to promote?
Yeah, a couple things. Well, on Facebook, we do have a group called Pennsylvania Republicans. In just 2 weeks, we've already grown to 1,600 members. And so my goal is to connect all of these people to their local county parties across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Of course, you can also go to my website, earlyvoteaction.com. Again, that's earlyvoteaction.com. We're focused on Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. But we are going to be having a day of action across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania on Saturday, July 8th. Whether it's doing a voter registration drive in your neighborhood, whether it's using the Early Vote Action app to make phone calls from the comfort of your home, or whether it's using the Early Vote Action app to knock on doors within a mile radius of your home, we're asking everyone to participate. And last, I would be remiss not to acknowledge that this morning we sent out over 30,000 text messages to Louisianans reminding them that they need to register to vote as a Republican. Tomorrow, July 1st, we get data for Louisiana, and my goal is to show that our efforts are working and that we're making an impact. So please, if you live in Louisiana or if you know somebody that does, remind them that they need to register to vote as a Republican to vote in the Republican presidential preference primary. But I want the viewer at home to know we're not spending money on television advertisements. We're doing direct contact, whether that's phone calling, door knocking, voter registration, text messages, and this is all happening through Early Vote Action.
So Early Vote Action, you go to .com, you go to the website, you download the app, you can get, now can you register? Will it give you the registration information right in the app itself?
Yes, you can register through the app as well.
Oh, that's perfect, because I think for a lot of people that I hear this all the time. How do I get involved? What can I do? What are the steps? And admittedly, the way some of these county and state websites make it, it's hard to, you know, this is the first day after the next day, you know, is the registration deadline, and they don't make it simple, do they?
No, but again, you know what? I'm going to be in the car for 9.5 hours. So if any of you at home have questions, I will spend my time during that drive speaking with you on the phone. You can always slide in a wholesome of manner by going to @ScottPressler, ScottPressler.
Hands-free, Scott, I hope. Hands-free.
Of course. Carefully, yes.
Peacefully and patriotically. Scott Pressler, you just gave it out again. Let people know, we're coming up on the break. Let people know where all the best places to follow you, to sign up. I know the website, Early Vote Action. Where can they go? Where should they go as they look into this 4th of July weekend?
Please go to @ScottPressler on Telegram, Twitter, Gab, through social, for anything this weekend's independence celebration for voter registration.
All right, great. We're going to make sure we'll get all that information out on the telegrams. We'll get it up on the chats. We want everyone to know where Scott is going to be. And if you are in an area where if you're in driving range of where Scott's going to be, please go, because I'm telling you, you're not going to have more fun than a Scott Pressler Independence Day party with the biggest American flag in Western Pennsylvania, apparently. I kind of wish I was going now. I have to ask Tanya. Say, sweetheart, it's not 9 hours for us. I think it's only four or five. Out to Pittsburgh from D.C. So we will see. Folks, next, we have on the great Malcolm Flex returns to Human Events, and we're going to chop it up on everything that's going on this week. We're going to find out what happened at the Supreme Court, and we are also going to look at the 2024 horse race to understand what the next charges are going to be and what the next changes are going to be, because we do have new news about charges, more charges, and President Trump and his team. Stay tuned. Human Events.
Stop buzzing in my ear about the boring people at your office. I'm trying to listen to the new Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec, very excited. Now, folks, we've got a great guest coming up. We've got Malcolm Flex, his return to Human Events, but we do also have to talk that we have breaking news. This is coming to us from more leaks, of course, out of the Department of Justice. Here it comes, and I've been telling you this since day one, that they are going to go after President Trump, not just for these documents, not just for this thing down at Mar-a-Lago. This is Jan 6. And it says the Department of Justice are prepared to hit Trump and his allies with new charges, potentially 45, it says 30 to 45 charges. This is out of D.C. This is all about January 6th. We are going to see whether or not they charge him with seditious conspiracy and then try to block him. This is what Judge Napolitano said when he was on the show just yesterday, that they are going to try to block him from running again under the 14th Amendment. I got to bring him in. Malcolm Flex, can I get your reaction to this news? I know it's just breaking that they are seeking to essentially, we don't know, and I'm looking at the article, we don't know specifically what the charges are, whether or not it's going to be seditious conspiracy, but we do know that that has certainly been one of the things that we've seen bandied about. Why are they going against him so hard, and will this have an effect on the primary?
So, as far as I can see, it appears that this is their backup to their backup plan, which their backup plan was getting Ron DeSantis in the fold and sort of siphoning off a lot of the influence that Trump might have had over MAGA. Unfortunately, I think, Ron DeSantis, his team and he have basically, sort of squelched out all the goodwill. And, as more people get into the race, one of the things that we're seeing is that it takes away from that same shrinking pool of never Trump Republicans that really want to get an alternative to Trump. So now they're basically saying, okay, you know what? More DACA. We're basically just going to launch everything we had, and again, more DACA. That's a Warhammer reference. No, it's just DACA, DACA, DACA. You just throw everything that you can at him. So they soften them up with the document charges, number one, because again, you got to make him look like he's scandal ridden. You got to make Trump look like this guy is just, he's a loose cannon. He's out the left field. He's doing everything his own way. He's basically keeping documents that are a national security risk. Like, this guy wants to destroy, he wants to destroy America. Now you bring in January 6th, and now you really tie in the nice little bow and loop to the whole picture of, hey, this guy, yeah, he's against the U.S. This was a conspiracy, it's seditious. So, again, we're really seeing the culmination of their planning, and that's where I think that they're going with. Again, we won't know until we see the full charges, though.
No, I think you're right, because look, and Richard Barris broke on the show a couple of weeks ago that this is exactly what those guys have been running around to donors saying. They say, don't worry about the polls, don't worry about dropping, because it's all going to change when the charges come out. Once the charges come out, everything's going to change. They're going to see Trump. He's a bad guy. And Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani and Posobiec and whoever, Mike Lindell, whoever else they want to bring into this thing, they're going to say, these are all bad guys and you can't go along with them. But here's the thing. How do you take a situation where in the same week we see these massive victories from Trump's appointees to the Supreme Court, the biggest victories, the biggest W's the conservative movement has ever seen, period, full stop, between Roe v. Wade and this, And now how do you turn that around and say, oh, wait, we can't go with this guy anymore? Does it work? Do you think the voters are going to buy it?
I really don't. Again, this thing right here will solidify his hardened base. I think right now, again, when you look at what the powers that be are doing, they're trying to keep a lot of the donors that are building up that massive war chest against Trump. They're trying to keep them from, you know, getting a little bit nervous. You know, we had the whole diamond hands thing. Right now, they want them hands diamond solid. You know, they don't want these people to start getting paper handed and start folding and, you know, feel like they made the wrong run. So they're sucking oxygen out of a lot of these Supreme Court victories that we're actually seeing. And, you know, again, constitutional carry, massive victory. You know, it's like stuff like that. Again, the affirmative action ruling where you can't use basically, you know, diversity based metrics. Huge, huge. Again, what's the one thing that we talk about when it comes to higher education pumping out woke zealots? It's because they get people in on the basis of diversity. And then they utilize that diversity to essentially, you know, have a self-selecting sample of people that are indoctrinated. Hey, I got here because of affirmative action, because they looked at me for my skin color and saw I was marginalized. They're trying to take that away and cut off this pipeline. So it's an interesting little play, you know. Honestly, I'm watching it. It's a masterstroke of strategic genius.
Well, and what they do as well, it becomes a self-licking ice cream cone, because then those same people that come up through the institutions then become the next layer of administrators, professors, the DEI czars, as you will. So they essentially exist to perpetuate their own existence, and then their reproduction, in because they're basically respawning by creating new members of their same Illuminati to basically come, the Wokerati, to be able to come up and replace them. So even, because keep in mind, we're already under one generation of this at least. So if you look at it, the ones who are there now currently running, right, currently running the administration, are the ones that benefited from the first place. I don't know if you've seen the meme. I posted it a little while ago on Telegram, but they said breaking news, Clarence Thomas has hopped in behind the wheel of his RV and is now driving directly into the doors of the Harvard administration's building. You can't stop me anymore. I'm coming for you.
Oh man, one thing about it, we're winning the meme war, if nothing else, right now. And you know, that's
memes are back. Hey, that, memes are back.
Dude, we are so back. If you don't listen to that one assassination attempt that tried to take out MAGA completely, man. That was close. They almost got you guys. You know, I think of
Vision, there's been some really low energy memes out there coming. And let me ask you about this. Do you think, so you mentioned diamond hands, paper hands. I want to tease that out a little bit. So for folks who don't understand the reference, diamond hands, of course, you got hands of diamond, rock solid. Paper hands is, whoops, dropped it, let go. So do you think that that is what we're seeing in the polls? Because we've seen since February nothing but Trump support go up and up and up, whereas DeSantis has lost in some of these states. New Hampshire, he's down 10. In Pennsylvania, he's down 5. It seems like people are starting to switch over.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's basically like, you know, when you try propaganda so many times, eventually, much like, you know, getting infected by subsequent strains of a virus, to use an app comparison, since, you know, DeSantis loves to tout his COVID policy. But it's like, the more times that you get exposed to that same virus, the less effective it is, because you already kind of have a recognition of it. So the propaganda that sort of tries to sink Trump's support, it's been tried so many times on, you know, the people that they basically use for the polls, that at this point, it doesn't even cause a discernible effect. Yet when you see on decentralized media that we're essentially making gains when it comes to Supreme Court appointees that Trump himself basically put in, you're starting to say, oh, whoa, this guy's doing it. You know, this guy's actually back. And see, you can only tell people don't trust your lying guy so many times before they essentially say, okay, you know what, you know, this isn't matching up. The picture that you guys are presenting doesn't match with reality. I'm seeing this, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing this. Yet the media is saying, oh, you know, Trump is doing this, and oh, Trump is spiraling, and oh my God, you know. And it's just, it's culminating where reality is not matching up with the propagandistic attack. So the polling is not taking the, you know, it's not taking the beating that it used to.
No, I think that's exactly right, because we were talking about this earlier, producer Angelo. There's no substitute for victory. Americans love victory. Americans abhor losing. Americans hate cowardice. This is what we hate. This is what we've always hated. And when you're putting W's on the board, all right, and all these National Review types who are sitting there saying, oh, well, if Trump is the nominee, then Hillary's going to get in there and Garland's going to get in there. It's like, it didn't happen. And those very same guys, we're going to break here in a sec, but those very same guys are now running around celebrating, cheering. Oh, this is what a great victory we have at the Supreme Court. Oh, what an incredible victory. Who put those people on the court? Was there one man? Was there one man that stepped up to the plate and actually hit the home run 3 times in a row? Say his name. Just say his name. It's all you got to do. Say it quietly. I understand if you want to shout it, but say it quietly. Thank you, Donald Trump. All right, stay tuned. We're going to be back. Human Events, Malcolm Flex. We have something a little special saved for the very last segment, so stay tuned.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pride Month is over. The Supreme Court has ruled that you do not have to bake that cake because web developers are able to turn down service to same-sex weddings on the basis of their Christian beliefs. We've seen all of this going on. The wokeness essentially has gone too far. The Supreme Court is delivering victories. But Flex, I got to tell you, man, you know, so I'm looking at, it's 4th of July weekend. What are we going to do as a family? What's happening? And everyone's talking about, oh, this new Indiana Jones. It's the last movie. They got Ford back. He's got the fedora back on. Okay, it's okay, interesting, but it's Disney, right? It's Disney. And that already makes me a little worried. Well, the Post-Millennial has an article. Breaking: woke actress says it's glorious that she punches out Indiana Jones in new movie. To have to level a punch at the hero of the film was glorious because it's so funny. And she actually knocks him out in the climax of the movie. Why do they got to emasculate all the heroes? Why do they have to do this?
It's the age-old Revolutionary Guard tactic of destroying the old. You have to destroy the symbols of the old. So in order for them to bring this new woke Indiana Jones into the fold and really have it become the new, they got to show old Indiana Jones getting punched out because apparently his face is somehow passing the torch to this new strong female, you know, strong independent female, no need no man type. So, oh, God, this is horrible. Like, did Hollywood writers go on strike as well, or is it just the writers for, late night television cancer?
It's ridiculous because, of course, this is a character that no one's heard of before. This is the fifth Indiana Jones movie. She's never been in any of the films before. And now there's a new character. And, of course, what I'm sure they're going to try to do is say, well, you know what? We're going to start up the new series, the new franchise, and she'll be the lead, and whatever her character's name is, now we get to pass it. This is the exact same thing they tried to do with Star Wars. They tried to put everything on that Mary Sue, this character, no Jedi training, and suddenly she's killing everybody, she's beating everybody, she becomes the victor. This is Kathleen Kennedy, this is Disney, this is exactly, I'm telling you, they have a goal. And when Kathleen Kennedy came out there with those shirts that said, the force is female, the future is female, she was telling us exactly what was coming.
Yeah, it's what they say about millennials. And, you know, you might be excused from this if you claim centennialship, but millennials don't create. You know, it's like we only take and destroy. And so, yeah, Star Wars destroyed. That's already bad enough. But now they're going for Indy? Like, come on, man. Like,
well, so I got, like, I got an idea. I got an idea. Yo, I got an idea. You saw that. So you saw that there was that. So Mel Gibson came out yesterday and said that he was urging everyone to go see Sound of Freedom. And he said, this is the number one topic that doesn't get enough attention, child trafficking, which is real. And the first step is awareness. Go see Sound of Freedom. So we've set up the website, angel.com, Human Events. And here's the idea. I'm calling it the hashtag Gibson Challenge. And the Gibson Challenge is this. Go and take a video of yourself either going into The Sound of Freedom, if you have a theater that's near you, or if you can get it streaming, then going and purchasing your tickets for angel.com/human events. We're selling 2 million tickets. We're doing pay it forward. My buddy just texted me that his mom over at the church just bought 10 tickets herself, that this is becoming a real movement. So it's called #GibsonChallenge. Go, and we're going to show all these to Mel Gibson. You put them on Twitter. You put them on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You send a message that we're not going to put up with this anymore. Now, I understand this isn't a kid's film. I'm not saying show it to your kids, but I am saying that #GibsonChallenge is how we can fight back using cultural warfare.
Yes, indeed. I think, you know, at this point, we do need to start pioneering some challenges, so to speak. You know, again, getting our media, getting this whole parallel economy going is not just going to be, you know, creating substitutes for, you know, food and for cell service. Like, we got to have media icons basically pushing this. And Mel Gibson, dude, how big is that right now that he's drawing awareness to child trafficking? Something that, again, universally, if you ask people who are not, you know, in the, you know, in the weird fringes of the LGBTQIA 2+, -3+, you know, like, it's horrible. And so I think that this is something that can sort of, you know, get the ball rolling on using social media to push this alternative media and a lot of these films that basically compete with this new woke capitally backed form of just the classics, which I say classics.
Right. No, it's all inextricably linked because, as you say, you've got Public Square out there for your list of businesses. We got Patriot Mobile for your cell phone service. We've got MyPillow for all your sleep needs and your patriotic needs. MyPillow.com, promo code POSO, never Tanya. But then you've got cultural, right? Cultural impact. People like Mel Gibson, Jim Caviezel, Eduardo Verástegui, who's huge. He's like the Brad Pitt of Mexico. He's the guy who came in to produce, and he actually stars as a role in this film. By the way, it's a great movie. Once you get past, I mean, it's dark, right? You're talking about little kids, and you see little kids get trafficked. That is what the film is about, and they do not shy away from it. It follows two tracks. One is Tim Ballard, who shows the track of trying to save the kids. The other track is what happens to the kids while they are trafficked and passed on from one trafficker to another, like we just saw, by the way, on the border in Ukraine, where they were able to, thank God, the Ukrainian police were able to arrest this guy, but it turns out that he was selling them for organs, and that wasn't even the first kid that he sold out of the refugee area. Last word, 1 minute, Malcolm Flex.
Yeah, man. Number one, trafficking kids is bad. I feel like I just got to reiterate that for the degenerates in the back. But also, feel free to check me out at www.com/flexyoursuccess. Well, again, www.flexyoursuccess.com. Again, check me out on Twitter. Guys, you know, we're working on stuff. We're basically doing appearances. We're out here, and we're going to keep taking over because we can't let the woke keep putting points on the board. And so
that's right. And we can hear, by the way, Malcolm Flex is a proud father. Right, or yes. Jack and AJ, when they want to make their little sneak appearances on the show, they come in as well, because that's what's happening, folks. We're the parents. We're the moms and dads. That's who's going to win back this country. We actually have children, because that's what it's like when you actually have skin in the game, that you want to make this country better for those little voices, for those little people that we are going to hand this country down to one day. That's all it is, folks. That's all it is, and there's nothing else. So from me to all of you, God bless. Happy Independence Day. Make sure you say it's Independence Day, because that's exactly what it is. We got a lot of work to do, folks, but don't worry, because meme magic is on our side. We got the heroes coming back on our side. And ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.